Today on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about becoming aware of when you are on autopilot. Why do we sometimes cruise along in life? Is your automatic response yes when you really would like to say no? How can we get off autopilot? Learn how to stop being on autopilot in this month's bonus episode, as we continue our month focusing on hodgepodge.
Ready to clear your clutter and share your gifts with the world? Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., join award-winning professional organizer, author, and certified life coach Julie Caraccio on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out, as she teaches you how to navigate the waters to declutter your life. Julie Caraccio destroys the box and examines clutter in all areas.
Today's episode was mainly inspired by my emotional eating. If you've listened to the podcast, I have talked about this. And, you know, the purpose for me of putting myself into the podcast and being very honest and upfront with you is to, one, show you can change your life, and to show you where I still struggle. I believe I have a lot of wisdom, and I still have a lot to learn. I've made a lot of progress, and I'm still progressing. So it's to serve as example, inspiration, and for you to know you're not alone. I recently cut cheese out of my life. Talk about a hard thing to do. Quit all cheese March 1st. I'd quit soda at the beginning of the year on January 1st. Boy, oh boy, was cheese about a bazillion times harder. I know when I eat emotionally, I'm on autopilot. I was aware that I ate a lot of cheese. And this is why I really wanted to do an awareness episode every month, because one, there's layers to everything. You know, I'm aware of a lot, and I uncovered a new layer of awareness where I was on autopilot, always buying cheese at the store, getting cheese on the sandwich, getting cheese in the omelet. It's like, dang, you eat a lot of cheese. So I took it to another level. And I want you to remember that, you know, we might have an awareness and then a year or so later in a couple months gain an awareness of another layer. That's why it's so important. With this week's episode, I'm hoping that you will look for one way that you're on autopilot. Think about if you are driving in traffic and someone cuts you off. Is your automatic response to send them a blessing or give them the finger? And I share this because when we're on autopilot, sometimes we can just go into a rage. Like, people die from road rage. It's kind of crazy that we get upset over a little incident and then someone takes out a gun and kills someone. So if we're on autopilot, we're not aware, things might progress to where we don't want them. They've escalated to a point of no return. And that's the other reason that motivated me, to kind of get you thinking about, where am I on autopilot? Could it have a negative effect or response? Why are we on autopilot? So I did some research. I love doing research. And I found an article online from Psychology Today. And a 2007 study said mindfulness meditation reveals distinct neural modes of self-reference. And this was from Norman Farb at the University of Toronto. And along with 600 scientists, broke new ground in understanding of mindfulness from a neuroscience perspective. They worked out a way to study how humans experience their own moment-to-moment experience. They discovered that people have two distinct ways of interacting with the world using two different sets of networks. One network for experiencing your experience involves what they call the default network, which includes regions of the medial prefrontal cortex along with memory regions such as the hippocampus. The network is called default because it becomes active when not much else is happening and you think about yourself. It's the network that's involved when you're planning, daydreaming, and ruminating. So you might be thinking about what you're going to make for dinner while exercising. I do that a lot. I mean, who watches the Food Network? Why the exercise to torture themselves? Raising hand right here. They found that this default network also becomes active when you think about yourself or other people. It holds together a narrative. So narrative is a storyline with characters interacting with each other over time. The brain apparently holds vast stories of information about your own and other people's history. When the default network is active, you're thinking about your history and future and all the people you know, including yourself, and how this giant tapestry of information weaves together. In this way, in the FARB study, they like to call the default network the narrative circuitry. The more aware you are of the different circuits, the more aware you are, less likely to be on autopilot. Just FYI, I don't want this to become an excuse. My brain made me do it. I like giving you background. I'm working with something now, and it kind of merges the science and spiritual. So there's a neurological science aspect to this, and it's kind of FYI, because you can change the way you think. You can improve your skills. But I thought this was interesting to share. A study by Kirk Brown found that people high on a mindfulness scale were more aware of their unconscious processes. Why I'm always talking about having a mindfulness practice, learn how to meditate, do deep breathing. These people also had more cognitive control and a greater ability to shape what they do and what they say than people who were lower on the mindfulness scale. You're more likely to notice that you're missing a lovely day worrying about tonight's dinner and focus your attention on the warm sun instead. When you make this change in your attention, you change the functioning of your brain, and this can have a long-term impact on how your brain works too. Are you on autopilot? You aren't alone. In an article from June 2017 from Forbes Online about living on autopilot, 96% of 3,000 people surveyed by Marks and Spencer said they were living life on autopilot. I have to tell you, I was really astounded by this. I was like, dang, that's really high. I would not have expected that. The researchers concluded that our mindless state has created an epidemic of non-engagement with the world and subconscious decision-making. These reflective autopilot decisions range from the clothes we wear each day to where we eat lunch to whom we eat it with, including people whose company we don't like. That's kind of crazy. You're so on autopilot, you're eating lunch with someone you don't even like. Over the course of a lifetime, our small mindless decisions can have a big impact on the trajectory of our careers and the shape of our lives. That's really true. I mean, that's kind of basic info. All those little steps you take eventually create the bigger step that you take. Now, this particular online article and research was focusing on British folks. They found that the average Brit makes 15 decisions on autopilot a day. That's more than 250,000 autopilot decisions in a lifetime. So they're not thinking about these at all. Just boom, decision happens. They say that we're not wired to overthink our small daily decisions, so we have enough mental capacity for the bigger one. Of course, that makes sense. Kind of like pick your battles. Yet when we're operating on autopilot, it can leave us sleepwalking through the choices we make and drifting down a path of least resistance. Hey guys, there's science behind me saying all the time, awareness plus action equals change. Operating in autopilot means that our instinctive desire to gain pleasure and avoid pain sits at the helm. In the short term, that can keep us from taking actions that would lead to greater fulfillment, personal happiness, and even financial security in the long term. So, for example, saying yes to stuff we don't want to do.
Losing money because you aren't organized? Tired of spending hours looking for things? Stressed out? Go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com to learn how Julie Caraccio can support you.
Over the course of a lifetime, this adds up to 70,000 occasions in which we commit our time to something that isn't necessarily aligned with what we are most committed to, i.e., clutter. We're doing things that we don't want to. 47% of adults in the study admitted they say yes because they're loath to let people down, and 37% said that saying yes is simply easier than saying no. Now, I've been in those situations in my life. I'm definitely going to admit that. And love you, Mom, but sometimes it's just easier to say yes to my mother. I'm going to share this. How awesome am I to you guys? Because I share these silly, embarrassing stories. So my mother has this robe. It's like her blankie robe, and it's beat up and torn, and she doesn't want to get rid of it. So guess who has it? Yours truly. My mother lives in another state. And so I thought, when they come down to the beach this year, I'm saying, Mom, sink or swim. Do you want to keep the robe or not? I am standing up and clearing your clutter. I get it. It's easier. It's a path of least resistance to have the robe hang in the closet. Trust me. I'm well aware of that. 76% of people in the study report not spending their time well, with 1 in 5 admitting to not properly listening to others when they're in autopilot. Nearly half said they have forgotten something, including birthdays, paying a bill, and even picking up the kids from school when they've been on autopilot. It also explains why one of the biggest regrets people have at the end of their life is they've lived the life others expected them to live, not the one they wanted to. I think this happens way too often. It happens more than we realize. What's most important is making a conscious effort to notice what you're doing, how you're doing, and why you're doing it. That's why I've created the podcast. All right, so we've got that research. You know you're not alone. How do we get off autopilot? Here are some suggestions. Move your body by walking, dancing, doing yoga, stretching, anything that makes you happy and gets you going. Unplug. We'd all benefit from this for a variety of reasons. I've mentioned this before through different episodes, and I also did a 10-minute decluttering episode on that. So those episodes were in July. Check that out. There's a theme here. Put it down, limit your time. If you need more suggestions, check out the episode on unplugging. Take a familiar object from your home, maybe a mug you've owned for years, a piece of clothing, piece of jewelry, maybe a chair. Examine it as if you've never seen it before. Let whatever's going on, all those thoughts you're thinking, maybe the history, let it drop to the background, and be present and pay full attention to this object. Maybe there's something you've forgotten about the piece or you've never noticed before. You know, I talk a lot about, I will reread some books. I reread every year Eat, Pray, Love. And when I read it last year, I was like, oh my gosh, how did I miss that? That's a spiritual practice I'm working on. Well, it was there the 10 other times I read it. Just in that moment, I noticed it. See if you have a different experience or reaction when looking at an object from a completely different point of view. Challenge yourself to go outside your comfort zone, both in your professional and personal lives. The sweetest fruit is on the farthest limb. There's a saying that's something like that. You might discover something you love. When I did the Reawaken Your Brilliance internet TV show, I would have never thought that I would enjoy being on the camera. I was always a behind-the-scenes kind of person. A little different with the podcast, because if you're listening to the podcast, you just hear me. But this is also on YouTube, so you can see me as well. I was always a shy, behind-the-scenes type of person, and I love doing this. Take a class to learn something new, which stimulates your mental muscle, as well as connects you to people with similar interests. Or do something like taking a different route to work. That was one of my assignments for class once. Come here in a different way. Play. This is something I am working on. I am not really good at this. I'm working to become a lot better. Consider things that are unstructured or bring you joy, whether it's painting or playing the piano or reading it a book. Do something you haven't allowed yourself to do before. Maybe it's something spontaneous, going to a kid's playground and swinging on the swings. It's about engaging that kid inside. I really believe all of my spiritual teachings that I'm aware of in the past couple of years have been play, have fun. I recently got supplies for oil painting, and I'm going to start to do that again. Have to admit, I'm a little nervous. I've got everything, and I haven't taken that first step, but I'm getting there. My goal is to get everything decluttered and just feel better about the space, because I just really need to get a good decluttering going. But I'm bringing out that play. Travel. I think it's so amazing when you go to another country, you eat different food, you learn of customs, you meet different people. That allows you to get off autopilot because your senses are kind of like, wow, this is new. Even if it's going somewhere close by. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I've been driving 90 minutes to see someone I'm working with. It's like a different world. It's rural. It's completely different in Raleigh. And that's just 90 minutes away. Get out in nature. We're always better when we can get out in nature. Hug a tree, take a walk. Breathe deeply. Most of the time, we're really breathing in a shallow manner throughout the day. Start taking those big, deep breaths. Open your heart by forgiving someone. Remember, when you don't forgive someone, that harms you, not the other person. And this has been, I'm much better than I used to be. And I think I've finally forgiven someone that was really a challenge for me recently. It took a couple months, but I'm happy to say we muscle tested it and that I have forgiven someone. Is there someone you can forgive? Feel your feelings. Direct awareness to a part of your body. Do you feel any sensations? Tingling, a numbness, a fiery feeling? Notice how the experience feels in the present as you interact with it. Create a sacred space. I'm going to be talking about that in the next episode, so we'll get lots more details there. Take an emotional risk. Be brave. Tell someone you like them. Stand up to someone. Have a difficult conversation. Volunteer. There are so many wonderful causes out there that need your help. See where you can volunteer. Explore your hometown. Take yourself on a date or go out on a date with your spouse. See what your city or town has to offer. In April, I did an episode on apps and I talked about the Shuffle My Life to get you out of a rut. Check it out. Here are some previous episodes that can support you. January 2018, episode number 224, Getting Out of Your Comfort Zone. Number 218 from December 2017, Creating Space in the New Year. October 2017, number 201, What's Your Baggage? Number 202 from September of last year, Breaking Bad Habits. From August 2017, number 193, Being Unproductive, Be Productive. In July last year, number 191, Removing Energetic Clutter. The July bonus from 2017, Doing Something Differently. And in January 2017, the bonus was on brainstorming and mind mapping. And finally, episode 48, all the way back from March 2015, number 48, Expanding Perceptions and Perspectives to Declutter Your Life. Take actions. Discover where you are on autopilot. Record when you notice you're on autopilot. Does it seem to happen at certain times of the day or after certain events? Create a plan to switch it up and get off autopilot. Try something from the Shuffle My Life app. Pay attention. Are you on autopilot less? If not, what other changes can you make? On our next episode, we're talking about creating a sacred space. Go out, clear the clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire.
Ready to live a more joyful and fulfilling life? Sign up for our newsletter and receive a free copy of 10 Steps to Clearing Clutter Inside and Out. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. See you next Tuesday at 1 p.m.